standing in Anime Week in Atlanta 2011, and I'm here with my friends Dave and Emily, from originally from Michigan, but now you live here. But you guys don't go to many cons, right?
We go to Dragon Con, which is also around here. We went to Japan Fest a few weeks ago.
Yeah, I wouldn't call that really a con. That seems more like a festival for a couple of days with a whole bunch of vendors around here that are really just businesses owned by Japanese people.
Oh, yeah. That kind of thing happens sometimes. I have Noah here as well, so it's a real, real in air quotes, episode of Ninja Consultant.
This is a real episode of Ninja Consultant?
It will be eventually. I mean, it's not right now.
You have lowered the standard for a real episode so much.
We never had any real episodes, as far as I'm concerned. Our episode's 100%. I mean, our entire show is fake. So, how many times have you been to Dragon Con?
Four? Three?
Three.
Three.
Oh, yeah. But then how many have you been to this con? You've been last year? How many?
I've been here 3 years. This is Emily's first time.
Yeah, I'm having a lot of fun. I'm dragging them to more panels than they would usually go to, but it's been a lot of fun.
Wait, what would you usually do instead of going to panels?
We didn't know what we were doing because I was still pretty new to cons at the time, so we just watched a lot of AMVs and random animes in the showrooms and dealer's room and things like that.
So then how does this hold up compared to, like, say, Dragon Con? Which
it's actually a lot easier to get around here because they've organized it better. It's smaller, of course, but having to walk between four different hotels to find your panels at Dragon Con, and all the dealers' rooms only have enough room so that there's one person on one side of the aisle, one person on the other side of the aisle, and then maybe a single file line down the middle, whereas here in the dealers' room, it's so much more well laid out. Yeah, there's fewer dealers, but oh my gosh, you can actually look at them for a period of time instead of being like, okay, I gotta go.
That sounds kind of horrifying. Like, we've been thinking of going to Dragon Con. It also sounds really scary. We've heard a lot of scary rumors about after-hours adult parties. But I guess you're not interested in that kind of thing. It's not like you're going to get invited, probably. Are there an excessive amount of furries there?
We haven't seen an excessive amount of furries, but we're not usually there at night. So.
Oh, right. Because then, like, you live in the area, so you probably just take off after.
Yeah, we live, like, less than 20 minutes away, so we can just drive home.
We're a half mile from this con, actually, so we can almost walk here if we wanted to.
Oh, nice. We found out it's kind of a long way from the airport, in a difficult way, where we're like, wait, it's how much? And then a friend picked us up halfway, so it worked out okay, but it was kind of a strange trip, because normally, like, the last couple times we went to Anime Week in Atlanta, we, like, rented a car, and then when I was still working under Cartoon Network and whatever, or still new people, like, we hung out at Cartoon Network, so it was important to drive from the con into the wherever city. I also have very little idea of the layout of Atlanta.
I actually work next door to the William Street Adult Swim building. Yeah, it's kind of funny, because I was actually working there for at least 6 months before I looked down, and I was like, wait, I recognize the silhouette of that building.
Like, it looks so familiar somehow. Wait, I'm on William Street. What else have you guys been doing today? What some of the high points, yesterday, of the con?
We sat through the AMV awards today, which was, oh my gosh, so long.
Yeah.
But there were some fun videos.
Yeah, it was pretty epically long.
I'd have to say the highlight of the con was your panel yesterday.
That's nice.
Listen to Ninja Consultant.
Had you heard the panel recording? Because I've recorded that panel before, and like I put it up in the podcast somewhat recently. Had you heard it or not?
I haven't caught up to all your podcasts yet. Sorry.
Yeah, that's fine. Because like I was worried, one of our listeners wanted to like, he's trying to put together the panel audio with like slides to make like a video that people can just watch. Because I think he lives in Germany, and so he can't go to any of the panels conceivably. But he was like, I was like, if someone else wants to put together a movie, like, you can, because other listeners have suggested that, but I'm not going to do it, because that would take fucking forever. And so we did. Like, I got a really good recording at Otakon. I plugged into the room audio, and so the recording is excellent, and I combined both culinary and unusual manga into one panel, and so he's editing slides to that. And, like, the PowerPoint presentation for that was, like, a gig and a half, because 350 slides. So, I don't know, uploading the longer video might be a problem. How are we doing on time? We still got like 15 minutes. So let's see what else.
You asked about cosplay with Dragon Con, and I also wanted to add that a lot of people comment that Dragon Con has some of the best cosplay that you can find at any conventions around the country. And I haven't attended a ton, obviously, but I do have to say that it's a surprisingly high ratio of cosplay and usually very, very good quality there. So if you're into cosplay, that's a good one to attend.
Our super hardcore cosplay friends from Boston, they stopped going to Otakon. Now they just go to Dragon Con. But yeah, I guess that's like a thing. But then, so it's like a better cosplay compared to like at this con? Because there's not really good cosplay at this con.
I've noticed a lot of people that come to this con try out their costumes at Dragon Con, and then they sometimes I see people modify them by the time they come here, so it's a chance for them to try it out, and then, you know.
Weird. And what about, like, do you ever watch, like, the big parade down the main street with, like, stormtroopers and stuff?
I've usually been busy at the time that they do the parade, and then also it's early enough in the quote-unquote fall of Atlanta that it's way too hot to stand outside.
It's, like, still too warm at that point. So I know there are different, like, tracks there. Which, like, track of interest do you usually go to?
I guess this year we did more Doctor Who and Star Trek, mostly because Sylvester McCoy was there, and so that was pretty fun. And Will Wheaton was there, and so I got to fulfill my heart's desire of seeing Will Wheaton live and get his autograph. It was pretty awesome. But in the past, we've just kind of looked at, oh, hey, I know what that is. Let's go do that. And so we saw, like, a Farscape panel a couple of years ago, a Eureka one, and this year we also went and saw...
Hold on, just a second, sorry.
We went and saw a reading from Mer Lafferty. She does a lot of...
Escape pod,
other things, so that was really fun.
So how's it going, Noah?
Yeah, it's going all right.
So what was your highlight of the con, Noah?
Yeah. I'm sorry, I'm really distracted by this girl behind us. She's wearing, like, turquoise tights, pink fuzz... Like, they're called them, like, kaiju leg warmers, because they're super fuzzy leg warmers, a Hello Kitty purse, and, like, a pink and blue wig, and her shirt also says Hello Kitty, and she's a bunch of candy necklace bracelets.
You mean only one thing. It's about time for the rave.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of weird rave things going on. Dave's taking a picture of her. Yeah, well, so what was your favorite AMV?
Well, there were quite a few to choose from that, I don't know, I wasn't overall very happy with the quality of this year's entries. I guess we've sort of been out of the loop with AMVs because of all the other stuff going on, A&N reviews and such. So it's been 3 years, maybe, since we've really paid attention to...
Yeah,
so I don't know what the scene has been like, but I felt like there wasn't a lot of inspiration behind a lot of the AMVs that we saw. A few notable exceptions, Moe Moe Rebellion, I like the concept. I think that there should be more radical feminist protest. Well, the concept is that... what's your name? Mikuru from Haruhi finally gets fed up with being manhandled, and she starts to rally her fellow Moe characters into being less defenseless, and so there is an uprising. I think that that's something that should have been going on a while ago. I'd really like to see the Moe characters of the world throw off that particular... throw off their shackles, throw off the mantle of Moe.
She was, like, posting messages on Facebook, like, have you ever been a victim of fan service?
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
Yeah. So I enjoyed that. I enjoyed the grand prize winner, which was largely original animation, it looked like. And then it was someone out in Moscow, Russia. Very fine animation work. Probably beyond the scope of what is usually submitted to AWA, because so much of it was original.
I don't know. I think they're big supporters of, like, sort of original video art. They specifically have like a whole room of panels that's the video art track, and that's not very specific because I think they cover a lot of, like, fan parodies or, like, original creation type things, or, like, they also include live action videos in their AMV contest, which is unusual for an anime contest.
That's certainly true, but this is the first time I've seen something that was so... included so much original content.
There was one that was did like a... They used 1001 Nights, which I guess I haven't seen. That's like a feature film that looked like color pencil animation or sand animation that was awesome. They had a really good AMV. What was it? There was one that was Bleak Friday, where it was like a remix of the Friday song sung really sadly, set to Lane. We're just looking forward to the weekend where everyone's like dying and blood is getting splattered on her face. I also looked at Helsing one that was like a parody of another AMV Mambaleo, but like redone with Hellsing Ultimate, which was pretty funny. And they, I don't know, they had a couple of good like sort of storytelling videos for like Hajime no Ippo and things like that. But right. But you guys went to Japan really recently. What was that like after the earthquake, all the and stuff? How was that? How was that?
We actually had a super amazing fun time, and everybody was so excited that there were tourists, so they were super helpful. I mean, we only would ever stand in a subway station for like 30 seconds looking lost before somebody would come up and say, "Can we help you?" We ran into pretty much everybody that spoke English because our Japanese is super tiny experience, and so we'd always ask people, do you speak any English? And they'd be like, oh, just a tiny bit. And then they'd have a full-on conversation with us, and we're like, yeah, you guys suck, because our Japanese is nowhere compared to your English.
I think Japanese people in general are very embarrassed about speaking English, and they're always worried that, I think they're worried they're going to, like, shame your language by speaking it badly. And I'm like, I don't know if you've ever heard native speakers.
That's what I'm gonna say, because I mean, there are so many people in the U.S. that have no idea how to speak English, and the Japanese people totally put them to shame, not shaming our language at all.
Right, never be embarrassed. The native speakers are just gonna mangle it. Someone told me that about Finnish people recently. He said that every time he does business with Finnish people, they're always immediately apologize for how poorly they speak English. But they say it so eloquently and so well that they're like, you speak better than most native speakers. I don't know if you know this. They're just like, I'm so sorry about not speaking English.
And I want to make a comment about that There was a lot of concern when we were planning on going over there. People were asking us, why aren't you afraid of the earthquake and all the damage and being in people's ways and the nuclear power plant and, you know, all that stuff. And I actually consulted with you, Aaron, and said, you know people over there, what's it like? And, you know, you said, no, it should be fine. And I have a friend in the nuclear industry, and he was able to break all the facts down for me. And he's like, as long as you stay out of that radius, you'll be fine, you know, which is the vast, vast majority of Japan. And I have to say, there was nothing really in our way. It was, Japan is strong. They held it together, you know. There was nothing that was in shambles or in disarray in the areas that we were at.
Oh, the timing was like, what, you went in April or March?
We actually went in May. So, they did have a couple of months, but it's not like there were buildings knocked over or anything where we were at. So, you know, especially Tokyo and Kyoto, you know, those big cities and the big touristy areas, still doing very strong.
Yeah. Once they got the trains back up, I think it was more like, you know, business as usual, sort of, except for a falling tourist industry. Did you end up going way out to that uniform museum that you were going to go to?
No, we never got there.
The Tombow Museum? No, we didn't have a chance. We'll probably do that next time. We have a list called the Next Time List.
I think we ended up doing that, too. We're like, oh, he's going to make a list for next time. We'll never hit all this stuff. Although we hit a lot of the things, but what else did you go to?
Well, we spent a lot of time in Akihabara. We checked out the maid cafes, you know, all the sights you're supposed to see. We got lost trying to find a certain store in theoretically Roppongi Hills, but then it was really in Harajuku, but then it was really in Shinjuku, and we were like, hell no, we are never going to find this place. And then we like happened to look at a map, and we were like, whoa, wait, we're right on top of this place. We turned around, there it was, and we were like, son of a bitch, we were looking for this for 3 days.
And it was right behind you. What was this store?
It's called Oriental Bazaar. It's really just a really nice souvenir shop, like all of the handmade pottery, and we got some yukatas there that were really beautiful, and just a whole bunch of like the really traditional items. They even have like an antique furniture level that's all, of course, very expensive, and we were like, no, we're not going to be shipping antique furniture home, but still beautiful.
Might be a bit beyond the scope of budget. Let's see.
We also went to Hakone as well, to the indoor water slide, water park. I highly recommend this. They have a hot sake bath, hot coffee bath, hot green tea, I think it was, as well.
But you said a lot of them were closed after the earthquake or something.
Some of those were the only things that actually were shut down because of the quake. We still were able to do the hot coffee bath, but by now they should be up and running. So.
Which, yeah, I saw like... I think I'm forced us to go to that one because, like, the webpage has a big, ridiculous, like, a giant tea kettle pouring tea into, like, a bath. And I'm like, we're going there. That looks crazy. But that was a bit terrifying to find it, because Japanese maps, as we know, are, like, three lines on the back of a business card that aren't to scale and don't have other roads on them. And then so the train dropped us off, and we're like, can't see where we're supposed to go, but I think it's up the mountain, so we'll just start walking up.
That asphalt road, just, you know, passed by some cemeteries, as I recall. Trees, kind of, you know, quiet, blissful.
I mean, we kept walking, and we did find it. We passed, I think, another resort first. Did you have a similar finding it experience?
We got off the train, and our luggage, we did not plan well and got, like, nice big luggage in order to carry all of our souvenirs and crap, only we didn't take into account how heavy that shit would be. And so we got off the train in the mountains, and then we were trying to figure out where to go. Nobody around there spoke English enough for us to get the point across, and it was close enough to the end of the day that, like, there was nobody in that little train station at all. And somebody walked by and was like, there will be a bus. And we're like, okay, but where? There's two bus stops across the street from each other. We can't tell which one is going where. And luckily, a guy, like, drove by again. He's like, do this one. And we're like, okay. And then we were, like, trying to haul our crap load of luggage up onto the bus, and it was a full bus, and we're like, oh my god, we look like such idiots. But luckily we got there. Then we took a taxi back down to the bottom of the mountain. We were like, screw that.
Oh no, that's what the big at the major stations, they always have like a luggage lockers, which are a lifesaver all the time.
Yeah, we definitely took advantage of that when we went to Kyoto, because that day we had to check out of our Tokyo hotel, and then we decided to go watch sumo all day because we could get a free ticket and then just sit in there all day. And we just left our luggage in the lockers, and then when we got done that night, we went back to the train station. We're like, what do you want to do? I don't know. Let's go to Kyoto. All right. So we just hopped a late-night train to Kyoto, and it was great.
Sweet. What was the sumo match like?
Oh my gosh, sumo is so fun to watch because they were having a technical, like...
pre-tournament.
Yeah, it wasn't exactly a tournament. So they had, like, the lower class skill level fight first, and then they went all the way up to the top guy. And, like, the top guy in Japan was fighting, and it was really fun because you could actually see the skill level increasing as they went through the day.
Yeah, early on in the day, a match might last anywhere from 15 seconds to 90 seconds. By the end of the day, the actual fight would last 2 to 5 seconds. But at the same time, it was like an inverse ratio thing. Early on, because Shinto is heavily tied to sumo, it turns out. We found this out while we were there. And so there's a lot of tradition and ritual. But
Shinjo, you mean like Shinto.
The religion, yeah. And so the lower class wrestlers would not be able to participate in a lot of the rituals just to move things along. But as they went up higher classes, they could, you know, throw salt into the ring and do more posturing. And so they could spend 5 minutes throwing salt in the ring, washing their faces, repositioning, changing their mind, going back, throwing more salt in the ring for a 5-second match.
I don't think it's, like, quite purified yet. It needs more salt.
That's my favorite part. I don't care that much about the they're clearing out. Oh. I don't care that much about the actual wrestling, but I love the beppu leading up to it. And it's actually, I don't remember where I heard this, but it's apparently one of the few sports that has become actually more ritualized, where they have added a lot of things to it. It started out as a very sort of simple wrestling ceremony, and it has gotten more and more ridiculous as time wore on.
I think the other panel is clearing out, so we should probably go. Wow, it looks really full, so we should go and set up. All right, I'm not going to record alcohol and manga because I think it's, like, not ready yet.
Kicking in the front seat, sitting in the back seat, gotta make my mind up, which seat can I take? It's Friday, gotta get down on Friday, everybody's looking forward to the weekend, Friday, get down on Friday, everybody's looking forward to the weekend.
What do you want to be called? You just called Co, like, online, right?
What? Mr. Y? I don't know.
What, your Twitter name?
Co, K Ransom was taken on Twitter.
But your last name is really Ransom? Like, that's a cool last name.
Yes, it is Ransom. Yes. There's a handful of Ransoms in history, and I am one of them.
but do you go to Anime Week in Atlanta every year?
Every year I'm in Atlanta, which has been since AWA 6. So, yeah.
Like most of AWA, because it's what, like 20 or, I don't know. No, that guy said 17 at the anime.
Yes.
But we were talking yesterday about this cool guy, no, the opposite of cool, a crazy guy in Japan who was like, learned how to animate by tracing animated GIFs. And who is this guy?
His name on the internet is Nosferatu. He still has a website that's kind of active. I don't know if it's been updated in a year, but that counts as active in Japan, where you can watch the GIFs that he made about 10 or 12 years ago. And then as kind of a sequel to one of his GIFs, he wanted to make a full-length animation. And it's about 5 minutes long, and it took him 7 years to make. There's a DVD out of it that you can kind of buy in Japan, but...
It's not, like, extremely legally, it's...
No, it's pretty short.
No, I mean, you can kind of buy it. Like, it's rare, or...
I think you can still buy it on Amazon, but you can't buy it really in stores.
But he got famous online because he taught himself, or...
Just because his GIFs are really good? Oh, because, I mean, in Japan now, even now, there are people who just post animated GIFs online, and people say, you should become an animator. And then they become animators. He just was very good at drawing things like explosions and other things that animation nerds like. So I think he got a lot of attention that way.
But he was kind of like really a low-tech guy, or someone was like, hey, there's After Effects.
Yeah, well, because all those early GIFs he basically made just with one of those GIF maker programs, where you just draw 320 by 240 pictures, and then you click next frame, and then you draw something else. And he made these like 2 to 4 minute long animations just through that. So.
But like the video that you actually have with you, it's like, there's an image on the cover that I recognize because it was like promoted by the Even a Monkey Can Draw a Manga guy, whose name I never remember.
Yeah, Takekuma Kentaro. Yeah, he was promoting him a bit on his blog because the guy that made it isn't very public. Even in the interviews that they have with him, he's wearing the mask of the main character on his head, or they just blur it out with that. So,
he doesn't go by his real name at all.
No, apparently he used to be a professional designer or like a graphic designer, but he had like some sort of there was some sort of power abuse issue in his office, and like to the point where I think he was actually beaten by his bosses. So that it comes up in his themes of abuse and stuff actually come up in the anime a lot. After that, he basically left whatever big city he was living in and now lives in this tiny island and works as a grocer. So
now he has, like, this five-minute film. All right. I guess that's about it. It seemed funnier, like, last night. It seemed like you were saying, like, someone told him, like, oh, you know, you could use After Effects or something, and then he got After Effects 3.
Yeah. Because when they found out he was just making drawings by tracing over, like, he just kind of clicked next file or, like, next page or new page and then kind of... trace over the old page and then make small differences. And then they're like, there's this software you can use called After Effects. And then he started using it, but I think he still uses After Effects 3, which I guess is a bit more of.
Well, if he used to be a graphic designer, you'd think, well, I guess they wouldn't necessarily know about After Effects. I guess that's about it. Which sort of in general, how does this AWA compare to other AWAs since AWA 6? Was AWA 6 like in the same location?
No, they moved here a few, I mean, now it's a while back, but AWA 6 was kind of a bit more downtown. Then they moved by the airport, then they moved here, I think. But I don't know, it almost seems like there's fewer people here, but that's because maybe I'm just out when there's big events. I don't know. I ran a Marvel tournament today.
Wait, so a Marvel, like, what do you mean, what kind of game?
Marvel vs. Capcom 3.
Okay, because, I mean, I've played HeroClix, and that's a kind of Marvel game, but on, like, what, machines or whatever?
It's on PS3. Yeah, I've been staffing the video game room since I was about 16, so...
But you're not that old now, so...
But it's been a while.
They let you staff on 16? I mean, they let you be on staff?
Yeah, you have to get a parental, like, your parents have to sign off on it. And apparently I'm still on the database as my parents have to sign off on me staffing. So, and they're like, when I picked up my badge, they're like, your parents haven't signed a thing.
Like, you're like, I'm older than that now. It's okay, guys. Who won the Marvel vs. Capcom tournament?
I don't recall.
Do they get a prize or anything?
Yeah, I think they get a bunch of cash, but I'm not sure.
I've never actually been to the video game room. Where is it?
It's in the hotel, kind of in the corner on the second floor.
Oh, I did see a sign that was like, video game machines in here.
It's all around that area near the elevator.
But it's not as big as like the Otakon game room or anything, right?
Not by square footage, no, not really.
Does it still like I used to avoid the video game rooms because I've been going to cons a lot since like 2002. But when DDR was still big, I would like stay out because of the horrible smell. Is that, it's less popular now though, right?
There's always people who want to play it, but this year we just got rid of it because it smelled too. We used to just put DDR and Smash Brothers in its own room, just where all the stinky people went together.
But Smash Brothers doesn't make people smell, does it?
Not necessarily, but like sometimes people would show up in fursuits and those are kind of smell.
Wait, like fursuits of Smash Brothers characters, or just regular furries just love Smash Brothers? Everyone loves Smash Brothers, right?
Yeah, but furries do too, and there was one really good guy who played in a fox fursuit, and he'd actually beat people in a fursuit, and they'd feel really bad.
Now I'm kind of disturbed. Like, this recording ends now.